Welcome back to Bibliosinensis.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to season 4.
Wow, we've gotten this far. Are you tired yet?
I mean, my stamina is definitely waning.
All right. Well, just to actually help us with this crutch, we're actually bringing in a new friend.
New friend, new character. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Brian. I am the new friend.
Ooh.
Oh, and I am a librarian here in Los Angeles.
There you go.
Dig, dig.
So we met Brian through our
film festival,
festival and our convention.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, fun times, man. Those were wild.
I know.
But Brian actually gave us a wonderful piece on the Fan Film Awards, and it was, I called it Hipster Charlie Brown.
It was Hipster Charlie Brown.
It was great.
It totally was.
I mean, come on, Linus has a zine on the Great Pumpkin.
Yes. That was grand.
Yes.
So, this season, we're actually going to be traveling into, I guess, a crevice in the book culture that I didn't think people did not know how to use.
Yeah, we've been getting your feedback, and we realized that a lot of you want more tips about books.
And just learning how to find book readers.
Or just all the goodies, I guess.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to always go to Barnes & Noble and buy it off the shelf and be excited when you use a 40% off coupon.
That was oddly specific.
It is a rush.
Okay.
It is a rush, I will admit.
Bite me, seriously. Don't tell me that that's not what everybody does.
Yes, I know.
There are ways to get books, and this is actually my favorite way to get books, so yes, this is going to be really exciting for me. So this whole season is about equipping you with just extra little tidbits and things you could know, should know, maybe.
In searching for books.
Yeah, and if you're a voracious reader, maybe these tips will help.
Yes.
Yeah.
And odd myths that people actually come up with, too. So.
Yeah, so, ironically, Brian, you are here to spill the tea with us, right?
Yeah.
Or at least drink it.
As it were. I will mop it all up.
Speaking of which tea are we actually drinking today?
Oh, so Brian picked this. This is the Hobbits's. Why don't I pour some for you? This is actually from the Mary Lou collection. This is a tea we blended. She wanted an evening tea dedicated to cats, her two cats.
Oh, how appropriate.
Which are, what was it, Pippin and
Mary. Yes.
They were named after the Hobbitses.
Yes, Fool of a Took.
Yeah. So, Hobbitses Fairy Fields is actually a decaf apricot, and it has our sage in it. So, it is I actually think it's more of like a savory tea.
Okay.
Because it has that sage note in it with the peach.
Alright, well.
Let's cheers.
Cheers.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding. So, what do you think about it? Because I know you got to smell the whole collection in our office where we are right now, and this is the one that called you. Mm-hmm.
The peach and the sage really sealed the deal for me. I could smell it. I can taste it now. Oh, my God. And I do prefer my teas warm, so this is perfect. It's like being in a nice hot bath.
All right.
Oh, I forgot how cozy this tea was.
I know.
When you said cats and teas, I was like, oh, it's like I thought cats. Like, memory all alone in the moonlight. Like,
oh, no.
Like, mem tea all alone in the moonlight.
Nope.
Fine.
Very specifically Lord of the Rings references, or The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. No, so it's...
Is it in Lord of the Rings?
Yes, basically...
That whole world.
Like, Bilbo was already old, Merry and Pippin, they were stealing corn and running away from farmers.
As you do.
As everyone does.
Hobbit's gonna hobbit.
Yeah. If they had cows, I'm pretty sure they were, like, cow-tipping, too, so...
Mm. So... What do you guys think when you drink this? Can you see the Hobbit reference on it?
Yes. I mean, it's appropriate that it's tea and not coffee. Because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously you go through the first few chapters and you're like, we are spending way too much time in the forest right now.
I mean, we do have a forest blend, which also has sage in it, but...
Understood. Yeah. But Merry and Pippin are the mischievous hobbits.
Oh, so I guess that's cool. It's like a little bit of a balance, because this is kind of a tricky tea. People either really love it or really hate it.
Right.
Because, again, the sage in it, we made sure to go heavy on the sage. And that's why we carried it with an apricot, because we needed something sweet so it wouldn't get too bitter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. So, let's go right ahead and dive into the whole culture of the library, okay? Let's at least also come to terms that our libraries are so huge here in L.A. County.
Yes.
That we have an L.A. system for the libraries, a Pasadena system for the libraries, and I don't know what other systems we may have out there. It feels like constellations, not just like, you know, another planet.
Can I make a confession before we get through?
Go for it. Yeah.
I have two library cards because I got away with it. And I need that many books in my life.
Right.
I have the LA County, and I have the LA City.
Yes.
And that's how I get away with, like, getting 30 books a month.
As do most people.
Yes.
In my mind, like, when you said, I'm like, really, only two?
I know, right? Burbank library system, too.
Yeah. Burbank, Glendale. Glendale and Pasadena are actually, like, they're the same system for some reason. It's like,
well, why is that?
I asked the same question. I'm like, it was something
amiss. I think it's because it might be San Rafael being right next to Osissa Glendale, and that's considered part of the whole, you know, San Gabriel Valley, and Glendale wants to be part of that.
I mean, and that definitely could be the case. I know they went through like an overhaul with their databases. And like, Pasadena's has changed, and then for some reason Glendale's has changed at the same time. And it's like, that's right, because they're one and the same.
That's strange.
That is strange. I will actually admit though that the Glendale Library has a really good collection of books. If they can entertain high schoolers,
I can admit that.
Yeah, if they can entertain high schoolers, you know they've done their job well.
Like, that's actually my childhood library, because I was born in Glendale, and, like, I lived there for a while, like, when I'm, you know, before the 2000s rolled around. So, like, to me, it was, like, a huge library, because I'm only, like, yay big.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's wonderful, and the kids' room was beautiful, and it had that tree, and, like, and, this is great, I want to be here forever.
Aw, that's fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah,
You did that, Glendale. You did that.
Yeah.
We applaud you.
I was a NoHo kid, so there wasn't really much. There were just like tiny little spaces. But I will admit, because North Hollywood had a whole bunch of martial arts gyms and martial arts shops, I got an extensive amount of collection to read from. In international martial arts. Like, I knew about capoeira before capoeira actually got really popular in college. So, it was interesting. Very confusing, but very interesting. Like, you know, a majority of, like, kung fu masters were, you know, Caucasian. So, I would, I would be, like, learning these martial arts from, like, Caucasian, you know, kung fu masters. And I'm like, you know what? It had nothing to do with ethnicity to begin with, but what?
Did it feel a little bit like Rex Kondo for you?
Okay. At first, because, you know, you open up, like, I don't know. Okay, this was my favorite, Bruce Tengger. And I'm just like, this guy looks like my high school history teacher, you know? And I'm expecting Rex Kondo, you know? But no, this guy actually went through the stance, you know, perfectly. And he made sure to actually have you understand that, you know, he is an American that actually studied Kung Fu, that you should actually pay attention to the way you step, or else you're just gonna, you know, screw your body up. And I really appreciated that, because a lot of, like, the Chinese, like, Asian writers out there were not as eloquent in their writing, you know? Which majority of, like, martial arts teachers are not as eloquent as they like to say they are. they know a lot, but not as eloquent.
It's a skill. It's a really hard skill. Like, you could master your craft, but, like, to communicate the knowledge, it's so difficult.
It is. Yeah. It is. So, anyways, moving forward, Oza, so why 30 books?
So, not... I guess I should rephrase that. 30 pieces of media.
Okay.
You can get movies at the library. But what I like is now there are digital resources. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, my version of Netflix, which is Hoopla.
Yay.
And Libby. Oh, I think Libby is just audiobooks at this point. Oh, wait, no. I think they do books, too, right?
Yeah, they do books, audiobooks. I think they have some visual media. Yeah. Like, a little bit. Libby.
The only thing I don't like about Libby is they do have all of the bestsellers.
Yeah.
But the wait list is kind of a pain.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. But then again, the wait list for, like, the bestsellers in, like, physical copy is also kind of a pain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And if you know books pre-releasing, I think you can pre-check it out.
Yeah.
And the good thing about doing the wait list digitally, like, there's none of that, like, oh, that... this is the due date, but the person just decided to hold on to it longer. Like, that's not going to happen digitally. Like, when that due date comes and there's a list, their time is up. Like, it just disappears into the ether and it goes to the next person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitterness begins there. That is the beginning of every reader's bitterness.
That's how it starts.
But I will say that Hoopla, for me, I find the most unique books on that thing. And another thing I love, which a lot of people don't know, is if there's a new movie out that you like, usually the original soundtrack is on there. Mm-hmm. So, like, we just finished watching, well, not just finished, but pretty recently we watched Cruella.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And it was, like, an homage to the whole punk rock tribute. Mm. So I downloaded the original soundtrack, and I just jam out and do my work to that.
Speaking of music, I know that each librarian actually is practically their own catalog of recommendations.
Yeah.
So, like, I know that, God, for the longest time, many years, even Neil Gaiman would actually say, please support your librarians.
Yeah. Oh, fans, this is the time to take the shot, because he just mentioned Neil Gaiman.
Oh my god! What is so wrong with this? Good job! All right, speaking of which, I need another drink.
Oh.
Yeah, because, like, I noticed that, you know, a lot of the libraries, even in Pasadena, they have, like, their own theme. Mm-hmm. You know, each one of them. Like,
I noticed that, too. I thought it was just me.
The one across from PCC has, like, the biggest collection of, like, romance novels I have ever seen.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you literally, know? Like, two-thirds of the new La Crescenta library is this, like, epic children's section.
And K-drama DVDs! Sorry.
I think that I found a Burbank one where it was like a fourth of the shelves were just manga and comic books.
I still have debt in that library because...
Are you really confessing that in front of a librarian?
Oh, I am so mad. I am so mad at my mom. Okay, she took my library card.
Oh, it's his mom's fault.
And, like, borrowed Barbara Streisand movies. And I go there after... After, like, what, 10 years? Because I haven't, like, been to the Burbank Library for that long. And I'm like, hi, I just want to, you know, borrow these, you know, these books for research. And then they're like, you have a late fee on Barbara Streisand movies. I'm like, I don't watch Barbara Streisand movies. Are you sure you're looking at the same account? I'm like, yes, there's three. Oh, wait, four. And I'm like, okay, the list is going to keep growing. Who do I talk to? And they're like, I'm sorry, it's been so long, you don't even actually pay us. You have to pay this other company. I'm like, whoa. What happened here?
Okay, Brian, explain this system.
America, explain!
So, like, once, basically, your fines went to collections. Like, a lot of, like, because we can't handle everything. It was like, we'll just kind of source that to, like, someone else, and then they'll take care of, like, collecting the money from you. Like, and then, like, you know, like, if it was just late, but, like, late by, like, I don't know, a few weeks or whatever, like, yeah, we'll take care of it. Here's your fine. You pay it at the front. After a certain point, we just assume you lost it.
Okay.
Like, we just make that assumption, like, it's been gone for, like, a month. Like, okay, collections, you go after them now. It's not our problem. We have, like, other things to do. And they will be the ones to start, like, hounding you with the letters and stuff.
Right.
However, I should take this moment to mention, like, a lot of the libraries in Los Angeles are going fine-free. LA City has done that. The Burbank Public Library has done that. And a lot of them are trying... Like, if they haven't done it yet, they probably will... within the next year or so.
Wait, but then people can steal books.
That is a question we have gotten. Just because there's no fines does not mean there's no lost.
Oh, okay.
Like, after a certain point, it would eventually go to lost, but in that time, like, if, let's say, it's, like, a week or two late, you just return it. Like, you know, there's not going to be, like, a consequence for that. If there's a hold on it, that doesn't apply. So for bestsellers or whatnot, if there's a hold on it, yeah, you still have to return it.
Wait, but then if they don't return it, do you just, like, ban them from coming back?
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
I have a list.
it's new to me, too, honestly. Like, of the libraries that I'm working at, we've just implemented it. And, like, I haven't run through all the sheets, but the reasoning behind it and, like, for wherever the chips fall, like, I will back this. It's, like, it's... We did it because fines, no matter what amount, kind of, like, bars out the people who might need the library the most. Because, like, a dollar fine, a $2 fine, like, it may not be, like, a big deal to, like, anyone in this room, but, like, to someone who maybe might be struggling a little more, that's, you know, it's a little harder, and, like, you know, or it could be embarrassment, it could be a lot of things. Like, we don't want that to be, like, the reason you don't come in. We want you to come in.
So, that was actually a big problem in my... childhood library, since you guys were talking about your childhood libraries. My parents would take me to the La Cañada library, which I still regularly go to. But the thing about the La Cañada library that's very specific is they have, again, like, very weird, rare, specific books.
Yeah.
And people would lose them. So on average, like, I would see people coming out of there with, like, $70 fines in the 90s. Because apparently, like you were saying, there's a point where it's a late fine and then they just charge you the book missing or the value of the book, because that's how they used to do it. But yeah, so people would get like $80, $70, $80 fines. You know, like, they just had crazy stuff. Like, they would actually check out art books, like high-end art books, like the Chanel... Like, the Chanel and Coco books now that are so famous.
Yeah.
They would check those out at the library. And I think they still do. But I know one very specific book, like, I think I had a fine on it, but I found it eventually, was... It was a replica Victorian cookbook for Christmas.
Ooh.
Right?
That's awesome. I just love cookbooks.
Oh, okay. And I actually learned how to make, like, authentic popcorn balls and stuff from the era. And, like, all of that crazy stuff, like mulled cider. I mean, obviously I was a kid and I wasn't going to do it. But, you know, you live on American Girl and you think, God, this stuff is amazing. I want to live this high. And yeah, they do, like, really specific books at that library.
Okay.
So, it's kind of interesting. I wonder how they would work. Does that mean they're just gonna not carry that many valuable books? No, who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
For some, like, for some libraries, they go all in on their collections, and that's part of... It might be because there's someone who's just really passionate, you know, to have, like, a curated collection because someone really believed in it. That's a cool thing about having a library.
Mm-hmm.
I know with South Pasadena, there's a guy there who is really passionate about music, and they have a really excellent, like, these collector's editions of, like, Abbey Road. Like, it's, like, a four-disc set with, like, you know, an art book that comes with it, and, like, a lot of, like, old 60s, like, albums re-released.
Wow.
It's, like, fantastic. Because it's so pricey, there is, like, a sticker on it that's, like, this is if anything happens to this, this is the charge. Like, ooh. they may make, like, exceptions for certain materials, like, let you know beforehand, like, this is kind of different from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have a room. There's a room in Pasadena Central Library where you can't borrow the books or the magazines,
which, I think. By the way, rest her soul.
Which one?
Central. Did you really have to bring that up?
I'm sorry. The Fan Film Awards came by. We were supposed to actually go back, but, you know, the structural issues that they had there.
Yeah, were... so for those that are listening, the Pasadena Central Library has been home to Azure Lorica, our nonprofit, for, I think, since 2015.
Yeah.
So it's been our home library and our home theater for 6 to 7 years now. And unfortunately, it's a gorgeous space. Let's just start with that. It's gorgeous. It's 3 stories, vintage library. I think it was built in the 1920s, 30s.
Yeah. All I know is that that side of Pasadena were, like, built by flappers.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's the same architecture in the City Hall, that historic Pasadena City Hall look. And it looks like Hogwarts inside. Yeah. In fact, there's even this giant Peter Pan library or fireplace inside the children's section. I love that thing so much.
Yeah.
But the library now has structural issues, so nobody's in it, right?
I know that you could borrow books from them. I don't know if you could actually go inside unless you're an employee.
Okay, so like a curbside pickup situation.
Yeah. The curbside looks almost like, you know, the COVID testing sites. It almost feels like that when I go there.
I just know their, like, their memoirs and, like, biography section is, so nice. It's 2 stories.
I know.
I didn't know there were that many Warren Buffett books. I was like, he has his own section. Holy moly. Yeah, so.
How much was Margaritaville?
Oh!
I don't know.
Cheeseburgers.
So, yeah. Interesting. But yeah, unfortunately, that's why, for now, Fan Film Awards is digital. I can't say thank God for the pandemic, but. You know, like, it helped us because we didn't know that we weren't going to have a venue space that year.
The only thing I could probably thank the pandemic for is for everybody to become tech savvy.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing I could think.
And we could have, like, more people join us internationally than we used to. And
oh my gosh, especially Italy? Oh my god. Yes. They were so grateful.
And for the ones that trekked out during the Fan Film Awards, out of the country, thank you. I mean, we've had Globetrotters.
Yes, yes. Especially the French. Thank you so much. You guys have been, like, amazing. Some of you couldn't even speak our language, and you ate a burger with us.
And you ate an American omelet, which takes a lot of guts after knowing how phenomenal French omelets are.
I know. I'm so sorry, guys.
We're sorry, but you seem to like it.
I mean, they liked the fries. They didn't know they were, like, pommes de frites. But
yeah, but we don't tell them that. These are Amera fries, I guess.
Well,
freedom fries,
right? Yeah, freedom fries.
Freedom fries.
So America core.
Anyways. oh my god, I lost our train of thought. We were talking about libraries and checking things out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'm intrigued by when it comes down to the collections of every library is how you guys determine when you throw your books away.
Ooh.
That is something we get a lot. And you know what? I'll go out and say it's such a bureaucratic thing. And I don't mean, like, the actual pulling out, although there are some rules to that as well. But, like, what happens to the books after? Because if it was... Every library has their own, system or things to work out. The ones that just put it in a box in the lobby, God bless you. Like, you do the Lord's work. Like, yeah, just do that. Like, people like that. Like, and then there are some libraries that are like, well, we gotta do this first. And even after we've gotten rid of it, it goes somewhere else and we have to decide. And, like, I'm sure they have their reasons, which is why it's so difficult whenever someone just, like, comes up and asks you, like, oh, so what do you do with the old back issues of, like, Marie Carey, or, you know, what do you do with the old copies of, you know, your worn-out copies of X-Men number whatever? Like I honestly don't know. I pull them, I give them to someone, and then they're just kind of out of my hands. Like, I really don't know what happens to them.
La horla.
Like, okay. Because there's, like, this system in place, and, like, I'm not a part of what happens after. I'm not part of that assembly line.
So, unfortunately, the library nearest to us, yes. I've had my friend confess that she dumpster dives their back lot because they just chuck the books.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the one thing I know they do after they've, like, exhausted whatever else they do, is, like, it will end up in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And the same goes for, like, donations too. And that's unfortunate, especially during the pandemic, because, like, we were just too scared. Like, we had a procedure in place, and this happened to be the time when everyone decided to clean out their closet.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess, like, we're like, sorry, we're not taking donations, but, you know, someone will just leave it, like, on the steps of Notre Dame. And, we still don't know much about what's going on. Like, we kind of have to do this for our own safety. Like, I'm sorry.
No. Forgive us. We won't crucify you.
Yeah. No worries there. No worries. No, this is exactly what, how this all goes, 360 for me, because I used to work at a used bookstore, mm-hmm. and dumpster diving is part of treasure hunting.
Yeah.
So, it's very real.
I mean, some of my favorite books that I've ever found, I know this is, like, crazy, but I've found them either at dollar stores or, like, in the donation bin. I mean, that's how I think I found... That's how I found Rosalind Miles.
Yeah.
And that's how I found... What's her name? The authoress of the 13th Tale. I forgot her name. She's doing a series now. I still haven't read her Bellman in Black, which is another interesting thing. But she's a great writer. I will find that later.
Yes,
just look up the 13th Tale. You won't be disappointed. It's like everything you want in a gothic horror novel.
And don't just watch the movie and expect that you're going to be an expert after that. That is literally like an eighth of what they give you in the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun, but it's only an eighth, guys.
Oh, because it's so dark, you can't turn it into a movie.
Yeah. Like, maybe a series. Maybe.
It's like up there with American Horror Story, I would say, in the gross content.
Yeah.
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 Anyways. Brian's like,
I'm just thinking about, like, interesting things I found in library trash. I did find a copy of Destiny for PS3. Because people donate media, too. And, like, sometimes, like, oh, we don't sell video games and we don't know what to do with it. It's in the trash. I'm like, and I'm like, ooh.
Okay. You're like, what? Hello? Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. I know that you know, I go back to the LA Law Library every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's extensive with what they got, and it's so weird because, like, you know, there's a new law every year, mm-hmm. if not every 6 months,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they still have to actually keep it in the archives. And at worst, they have archives that people don't even go to.
Mm-hmm.
I know the third floor, nobody ever enters.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's haunted. I want to go.
Oh, is it like all the criminal records, I wonder?
Maybe. Who knows? I know that the issue is dust particles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like kind of like a white glove kind of room.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
I know, right?
All right, Brian, are you ready for a field trip?
Oh, I'm so down.
Okay. Every Halloween they open it up, so if you want,
okay.
we could go.
It sounds awesome, actually.
Yeah. I know there's also that archival library on Crenshaw.
Yes, in LA. The UCLA archive library.
Yeah, and the only reason why we know it is because, ironically, I took him to a walkthrough importance of being earnest play, where mm-hmm. you walk to each of the settings, and it's in this old garden.
Oh.
But it's around the archival library.
Yeah.
And they have that old garden, like, trenched out area. I don't know how to explain it.
It's just beautiful.
Cool. It's beautiful. Really cool and beautiful.
Yes.